Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of 1 Peter. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verses 13 through 22. And it is actually found on page 1060 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. And keep your conscience clear, so that when you are abused, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing right, if that should be God's will, than for doing wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. It's the word of the Lord. Today, as we already noted, we will be having a baptism. And I confess I like baptisms, love doing baptisms, especially baptizing infants. I'm not sure that the babies liked it, but we preachers like it because we get to stand near babies, newly arrived bundles of joy and hope, and in effect say to the Lord, Lord, here, we are giving this child back to you as an expression of the community's faith and hope in your coming future. We preachers also like baptisms because they allow us to be able to tell a story. We human beings are storied people. We live out of stories. And every time we have a baptism, we are telling a story. A story of new life, of course, but also a story of sin and death. It's the story of Noah and the ark coming through the destructive waters of the flood before coming to rest on Mount Ararat with the promise of new life and new creation. It's the story of Israel crossing the River Jordan, coming into the promised land, leaving one way of life behind and embarking on a whole new journey as God's people in God's promised future. It's the story of the Lord Jesus himself taking upon himself the sins of the world and being plunged into the depths of death and hell and being raised again to new life. And it's the story of all of us here, all of us who've been baptized in Christ, baptized into his death and raised to newness of life. And this morning, it will become the story of little Vivian Ford as we baptize her into the household of God's people. Right now, of course, little Vivian belongs to her mother, Melissa, and her grandmother, Robin, and to all of those who are biologically connected to her. They are her family. But by the time we leave here this morning, she will belong to all of us. We will be her family. not only those of us here at Olney Presbyterian Church, but all of those who've been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. We will all be her family, because we will all share with her one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, as the Apostle Paul notes. We will also have the same story, the story of dying and rising in Christ. And it's that story that we'll be telling this morning when we baptize little Vivian. In order to understand the story, our story, and to claim that story, we must first say a few words about sin. I realize that sin is one of those old-fashioned religious words that no one really talks about anymore. Not even in the church. We don't talk about sin very much anymore. But ignoring it and not talking about it does not diminish its power and reality in our lives. Sin simply means missing the mark. And that is part of our human story. We all miss the mark. You see, we human beings, all of us, were created in the image of God. We were created to glorify God and to bring God's glory into the world, to bear God's glory, to bear witness to God's glory in the world. But the tragedy of being human is that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fail to be the human beings that God created us to be. We all miss the mark. We all sin. And sin is not just about breaking a list of rules and commandments. It would be quite convenient if that's all that sin was. But sin is a power that enslaves us. It is a power that controls us, that dominates us, that dominates our hearts and our minds. Sin becomes the grid, the prism through which we see the world and through which we operate and act in the world. Sin, I would argue, is not so much what separates us from God, but it is the consequence of our being separated from God. Sin is what we do whenever we place something else at the center of our lives, something other than God. It is what happens to us when we worship something other than God. And we acknowledge this morning that there are all kinds of powers that we are tempted to put at the center of our lives. All kinds of powers out there in the world that we worship other than God. We can name a few of those this morning. We can worship our country, our nation. Indeed, around the world today, we see a resurgence of all kinds of nationalisms, of people who put country at the center of their lives and worship that more than any other thing, worship it even more than they worship God. We can worship race. It's a very powerful, potent force in our world, particularly in our own country. We can worship sex. We can put that at the center of our lives. We can make that the central thing in our lives. We can worship gender. We can worship our maleness. We can worship our femaleness. We can put that at the center of our lives and make that the prism through which we act and through which we see the world. We can worship money. Can put money at the center of our lives and making money the primary thing that we live for. There are lots of people in our world today, lots of people in our country that worship money. We could just have more money, we can be saved. We could just have more money, we could solve all of our problems. But when we do that, when we put something else at the center of our lives, whenever we worship anything other than God, we allow the power of sin to reign in our lives. We give sin power over our lives, power over our hearts and our imaginations, and we begin to pattern our lives over the things that we worship. That's what the Bible reminds us, that we begin to resemble, we begin to look like what it is we worship. The Bible tells us that there's only one way out of our sin stories. We can't get out of our sin stories on our own. But there's only one way out of our sin stories, and that is to die to them. And that's what baptism is all about. Baptism is dying to our sin stories. Baptism is about dying to those identities that we've crafted around our idols. It's about dying to all of those identities that we think can save us apart from God. When we are baptized, we are training ourselves in dying. We die with Christ, and we are raised again with Christ to newness of life. That is what this season, this Easter season, is all about. In Christ, we have become a new creation, but that new creation comes as a result of our dying to all of those identities that once claimed us, all of those identities that once gave our lives meaning, all of those identities that we thought at one time could bring us salvation in some way or another. Little Vivian doesn't have much of a sin story this morning. She's only a few months old. The power of sin has not yet been able to impress itself upon her. But we know that those powers are out there waiting for her. They're out there waiting to claim her. They're waiting to shape and to mold her into their likeness. And so part of what we'll be doing this morning when we baptize her is we will be claiming her. We will be claiming her for God. We will be putting to death all of those powers that are trying to get a hold in her life, and we will be claiming her for God. In the Presbyterian Church, we baptize infants because we realize that God claims us before we can begin to respond to God. Before we are able to respond to God. And so this morning we will be claiming little Vivian Rose Ford. And we will be giving her back to God. That is what baptism is about. Paul reminds us in the book of Galatians that baptism is an entry into a new social order. In the book of Galatians, Paul tells us that for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, therefore there is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave or free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. That is what baptism is all about. And that is part of what Paul was doing in his day and age. Paul was establishing communities of baptized, faithful people, and he was knitting them together as one. In a world where people are so divided, in a world where we are constantly fighting each other, Paul was establishing communities of baptized people who were one, who were now no longer divided by the things that divide us even today. No longer divided by race, no longer divided by class, no longer divided by money, but knit together in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dying to all of that which once defined them and raising them anew in the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another and to care for one another and to love God with all of their hearts and all of their minds and all of their strength. And that is what we'll be doing this morning for little Vivian. We will be raising her to newness of life and giving her back to God so that she can begin to live her life in a way that is free from the powers of our world. Now, to say this morning that we will be claiming little Vivian does not mean that as she grows up, that her life will not have any difficulties. Many of us who are baptized know that our lives are sometimes fraught with difficulties. Little Vivian will grow up like all of us. She will experience difficulties in the midst of her life, but in the midst of those difficulties, she will remember who she is. She will remember what she hears this morning. She will remember that she is a child of God. She will remember that she is loved by God and cared for by God. But what we'll do here this morning is in some ways very dangerous. Baptism is not just a nice little rite that we go through, but it's one of the most dangerous things that we can do as God's people in the midst of our world when we baptize one another and we baptize our children. In many respects, what we do here this morning will make her life more difficult. She may, as a result of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and being a part of his household, she may very well have to confront suffering and persecution. I hope that we don't live in that kind of world, that she won't grow up in that kind of world, but it's a very real possibility. There are Christians today in many places of our world who are being persecuted. Many Christians today in our world who suffer because they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffer because of what they believe. I was reading just this week in the journal Plow about a young woman, Sophie Scholl, along with her brother during the 1940s, who were a part of Hitler's youth group. But as they began to understand and see what that meant for Germany and for people living in Germany at the time, they became more and more concerned, especially when they saw the anti-Semitism and the racism that was taking place in Germany. And these two young people, because they had been baptized, because they belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, because their consciences had been seared by the ways of God, begin to object to what was going on. And they established the organization called the White Rose, and they began to distribute pamphlets among young people chronicling what was going on in Germany at the time, the racism, the anti-Semitism, the hatred. These two young people, Hans, the brother, only 24 years old, a medical student, a conscript in the army, and his sister Sophie, only 21 years old. But these two young people had been baptized. They knew what it meant to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so being baptized did not make their life easier. It made their life more difficult. Because when the Gestapo found out what they were doing, they were arrested and they were put on trial and they were eventually executed. So I don't know what the future might hold, but for all of us who have been baptized can attest that being a part of the household of God does not make life easier. It may make little Sophie's life more difficult as she refuses to conform her life to the patterns of the world. I should also say, too, that baptism is dangerous because we don't know how God will use this little child. And God might use this child in a way that diverges from what her mom might wish and desire for her. I think I might have shared this story with you once before, but it's a good story, and so I'll repeat it here this morning. this wonderful baptismal story. William Willimon, who was the dean of Duke Chapel, recalled a father who had sent his daughter to Duke. He wanted his daughter to have a nice Ivy League education, and he spent lots of money for her to be able to attend Duke. But one day his daughter, while walking on campus, did something very dangerous. She attended chapel, and she began worshiping there in the chapel every Sunday. And one day while she was there in chapel, she heard the dean of the chapel send out a request for young, energetic college students to go to Africa on a mission project that would last for 2 years. It would be a wonderful opportunity to serve God and to serve fellow Christians on a mission project in Africa that would last for 2 years. And this young woman responded to that call. She felt God calling her to do that. And so she suspended her education for 2 years and signed up to go to Africa. But when her father found out about it, he was livid. He was angry. He got in his car and he drove to Duke. And he went into the chaplain's office and he confronted the chaplain and he said, "You idiot, why would you do something like this? I spent thousands and thousands of dollars to send my daughter to Duke Chapel so that she could become educated and become somebody in the world. I want her to be a doctor, or I want her to be a lawyer, or I want her to be a business person. I want her to be someone. And now she is going to Africa. She has suspended 2 years of her education to go to Africa. How could you be so incompetent as a chaplain here? Why would you allow this to happen?" And the chaplain simply looked at him and said, "It's not my fault. You're the one who had her baptized." And that's what I will say to you, Melissa. You're the one who has consented to have little Vivian baptized this morning. She is in your care, and you have given her back to God. And none of us know where that will lead. All we know is that to give our children back to God and to give ourselves back to God is to open them up to an adventure that none of us will be able to control. All we can be assured is that God loves her deeply as God loves each and every one of us. And that in the midst of the difficulties of her life and the challenges of her life, she will hear again and again that she is a child of God, loved by God. And it will be the responsibility of each and every one of us, all of us, to help little Vivian to hear that. None of us can belong to God by ourselves. It really does take a community to help us to be able to resist the powers of the world. It takes a loving and caring community to shape us and mold us into the people that God has called us to be. And it will take a community to help little Vivian continuously hear the call of God on her life. But that's what we are called to be and to do. We are called to claim her for God this morning. And when we do that, we are called to remember our own baptisms and to claim our own stories of dying and being raised to newness of life, our own stories of putting the past behind us and all of those identities behind us that mean death, and to embrace the newness of life that is promised to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The author of 1 Peter tells us that Jesus is now gone into heaven and he is at the right hand of God, and all power is subject to him. He has all power under him. But that begins with each and every one of us. He is in control, first of all of our hearts. And he will come to reside in the heart of little Vivian. And it is through all of us together, all of the baptized, that we will go forward in the world and make the world subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is through our caring, through our loving, through our fellowship, through our communities, that we are called to make this world subject to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it all begins with our baptisms.